Something for the weekend. Good morning, it's Trina, and another fabulous production coming to the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre, this time for 1 week only, from Monday the 9th of September. Angela's Ashes the musical. Owen Cannon is in studio. Good morning, Owen. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you, Trina?
So you got their lead role.
Oh, here, listen. Yeah, aren't I the lucky one?
You're playing Frank McCourt. And I suppose in some ways we don't really need to explain the story because the book was a bestseller. Everybody's familiar with the book, Angela's Ashes. But maybe you do want to tell us about the role of Frank McCourt.
Yeah, the role of Frank McCourt is he grew up in Limerick. He was born in 1930 and he grew up in a lot of poverty, let's just say, in the lanes of Limerick. And the story is about him and his experiences. It's kind of an underdog story. It's him who wants to pull himself up from his circumstances mm-hmm. and make something of his life.
Didn't he have a load of brothers and sisters?
He did.
Loads of siblings.
Absolutely. And lost a few along the way, unfortunately. But it was a proper Irish family back in the day where he had a full house, let's just say. But yeah. with the poverty and whatnot, everything that came with it and the circumstances that they were under, a few of them got ill and unfortunately passed away. And this is where we get the isn't that an awful depressing thing to be doing as a show, isn't that?
Yeah.
And I get that as well. But the thing about the book is Frank wrote the book as the boy remembering rather than the adult remembering what the boy experienced, which is a very strange way to explain a book. But if you actually read his writing, it's very childish, but in a very mm-hmm. clever way. He remembers certain details of these terrible times, let's just say, as well as the good times as well. There are a lot of good, funny times in there as well. But he remembers those, but he only remembers them as a boy seeing them and not really understanding them. So the film,
so being broke, I suppose, didn't really realise how broke they were.
How do you know what it's like to be rich until you're rich? You know what I mean?
And I'll never know that one.
So like he only knew what he knew, and anyway, fair enough, then he might have seen kind of some of the more affluent people in Limerick and kind of aspired to be like them. But the thing about Frank is the only thing that was on his mind, he was born in America, he was born in New York, and he moved back at a very young age, and all he wanted to do, he made a promise to himself when he was leaving New York, I will come back here, I will get back to New York. And that's all he saw, and everything that he experienced along the way, he would look at it, but this wasn't his reality. His reality was getting out and getting back to where he started.
Yeah. So how do you turn this into a musical?
Well, in the same way that you turn any sad story into a musical, like if you look at Les Miserables, if you look at Evita, if you look at Phantom, if you want a good musical, you usually have to have a dramatic story. You want people to invest in a character and root for them to do well. And in order for them to do well, they have to have been doing pretty bad at the start of it, you know. So it's if all musicals were just happy-clappy and kind of everyone was happy from the start, then no one would bother going.
Yeah,
you know?
Your head would be wrecked.
Absolutely, yeah. So the thing is, you'll come to see the show and you'll laugh as much as you'll cry as well. Like, I'm not going to say it's not emotional at times. It is very. There's some amazing performances in there. Jacinta White will have your heart broken. She's playing the role of Angela herself, and she's just she has the audience in the palm of her hand, and she just you can't help but invest in her pain at times, you know, and as well as her joy when things are going good, and she's kind of, you just root for her. As you mentioned, I'm playing Frank McCourt, so I'm kind of like the narrator. I'm commenting on what's going on, and I'm showing you my memories which come to life behind me, and then I might jump in and be part of that scene.
Right.
I might be the 4-year-old Frank, or I might be the 9-year-old.
Because I was going to say, yeah, there's obviously mini Frank McCourts on stage
as
well.
They're all me, so without any help from makeup or costume, I have to go on and pretend that I'm 4 and then 8.
Do you? Yeah, so there's not actually any child actors on there.
No children on there at all now. Yeah, so it's me becoming part of the scene. And it's one of these things that I feel if you're too literal and you try and show the audience too much, they don't participate, they don't get their brains involved as well.
Yeah.
You'll know when I'm the child. You know, I don't have to spell it out for you. You'll get it. You know,
he's wearing shorts.
I know. Who's that guy there? He's definitely not a child, you know. But yeah, so I like it even without any kind of change. We go up there and physically you get into the storytelling of it, and the audience just buy into it. And if you give the audience too much, sometimes they expect more and they don't want to have to think. That's where I feel the film kind of fell down, was it showed a reality which was too harsh, which was too depressing, because that wasn't his memory. He didn't remember
yeah,
the depressing. He didn't think it was depressing. He didn't. His brothers and sisters, some of them had passed away, but he didn't cry for them. He didn't realize what had happened. Whereas if you show that in a film, it becomes very depressing.
Yeah.
So likewise, on the stage, in the musical, we're kind of giving you these fuzzy-edged memories, and you have to kind of fill in the blanks yourself. And what's a real help there is the music. The music is absolutely beautiful. There's these wonderful lilting Irish kind of tunes that can come through that I think will make you leave very proud of the kind of storytelling that us Irish people have.
So the music has been written especially for this?
Oh, absolutely.
So
oh,
they're not songs that you're using from other...
All.
Okay.
Not at all. It's all the music has been written by Adam Howell, and the book of the musical has been written by Paul Hurt, and they've kind of taken inspiration from all of Frank's words, and they're not necessarily lifting the everything from the book, but they're kind of doing our version of it, just like any kind of book. If you're going to put a film on it or do a film of it or a musical of it, you kind of take the bits that you want and you leave out the bits you don't need in order to make it work as a whole entity in itself. You can't put a whole novel on the stage, you know.
It must be great, Owen, when you're part of something that everybody is familiar with. So straight away, Angela's Ashes, when you say that, everyone goes, oh yeah, Frank McCourt, yeah, I know the book.
I would love to agree with you there, Trina, but unfortunately most of the reaction I get is, oh God, you're making that into a musical. And actually it's kind of making people prejudge what they're about to experience. But my favourite is when they come in with that impression and then they leave and they're like, that was not what I expected. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And so, yeah, everyone knows the story. Now, I live in New York. Every person I tell them I'm going home to Ireland to put on Angela's Ashes, the musical, they go, oh, that book. Oh my God, I just love that book.
And oh my
everyone,
God.
Oh my God, I can't believe you're making a musical of it. And so, like, but they all know it. And I'm like, I grew up knowing it, but I thought, oh, it's an Irish story. That's why we know it. But its worldwide success is just, it's crazy.
Yeah, I think it was the bestseller worldwide. What year was it out originally? I can't think.
Now you're testing me.
It actually came up. We do a thing every day called CSI where we give clues from a certain year, and that came up. I think it was 90. Would it be 95?
I would say it was around the mid 90s.
Around there, yeah. But it was the worldwide bestseller.
Yeah.
You know, so pretty successful. So you mentioned you're living in New York.
Yes.
How did you come to be in New York?
Sure, why not?
I mean, it's risky.
Oh, it is risky, absolutely. Now, I'm not giving, like, at this stage of my life, I was thinking I had everything sorted and I was grand to relax. But no, I decided, you know what? I'm going to push myself and go over. Look, New York is the capital of the theatre world, you know. And so, especially in the musical theatre business, you know, Broadway is the height, you know.
Never heard of it.
No, not at all. I've just said, look, if I don't give this a go now, sure, when will I? And sure, what have I got to lose, you know? And so I managed to get the visa sorted and the work permit and the equity card and all of that.
Well, he could have been living on the street.
Oh, well, hey, listen, now you have to take these risks, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, as a Chandler would say, or as a Chandler when he was getting a new job, you have to have the want, you have to have the, you have to have no job in order to get a job, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you do,
so
I suppose.
If you only go over when you have a job lined up, you're sure that's...
So you went over with no job lined up?
No job lined up. No.
And what did you do for the first while? Did you work in a cafe or anything like that?
No, I very, very luckily, in order to get by, I worked in a theatre for a while, and then I worked with a press agent. So I was getting to see, like, I was in the press agent. I was working with these big Broadway stars, like, and not even Broadway stars, TV stars. I had like Bryan Cranston coming in. I had Jeff Daniels and bringing them around. And now again, I was working. I wasn't kind of acting alongside them, but it was just kind of I'm getting my feet. You know, this last year has been just kind of getting to know people and doing a few concerts and getting people to hear me, and people are talking, and now, and hopefully that when I go back now and I start auditioning, that people will remember me. And look, I'm under no illusions that I'll walk into anything, but you have to give it a go, don't you?
And do you want to do other things apart from the musicals? Would you be interested in doing like the big movies, big Hollywood things, or...
Is that
a stupid question to be asking an actor?
It's not a stupid... No, but this is the thing, and this is going to make no sense to you. Absolutely, I would jump at a movie or TV, but my heart's not in it. My heart is in theatre, and I love getting an instant reaction from an audience. That's why
a lot of people say that,
I'm never going to be rich in this business, you know, just doing theatre, but that's not why I'm doing it. I'm here because I want people to experience something. I want to bring people on a journey. And TV and film, as with all respect to everyone that does it, that's absolutely fabulous, but it's not something that I am actively looking for, but God, I wouldn't turn down a job in it.
Yeah. Tell me this much. Is it nerve-wracking, though, being on stage? There's a lot to be said for when you do TV and movies, that you can do take two, take three, take four, take 100.
Absolutely.
When the people are staring you out of it in the front row.
It's an adrenaline rush, isn't it? It's like, why do people climb cliffs?
I don't know if I'd be able.
why do people jump out of planes? But it's like, I love it. I can't describe the feeling of when you, let's say the Bord Gáis over there, like over 2,000 people sitting in it when it's full, and you have every person looking at you and investing in you, and there's not a peep from them. And it's just, you can't replicate that any other way in my life. I just adore it. It's like a drug to me.
What did you do before you became an actor?
Right. Well, I was always acting, let's just say that. I was always kind of involved in it, that was my being. But before that, I really believe my mother was coming into my bedroom at night going, get a real job, whispering in my ear. And so I decided that let's do this. So I became a primary school teacher.
Did you?
I did.
No.
I went to St. Pat's, and I did 3 years in St. Pat's, and then I did my HDIP teaching in Finglas. And once I had that, then I was out the door and I was across to London. Yeah, and that's, I had done what I had said I would do, but now I'm going to do what I want to do. And you know what? It was the best thing ever. The teaching, first of all, the substitute teaching was fantastic, because whenever I wasn't working as an actor, I was able to work as a teacher, and there was no kind of, you weren't restricted. You didn't have to do a certain amount of days. You could work whenever you wanted. But then recently, in the last few years, I helped set up Ireland's first musical theatre degree course there we started with GIT, and they were with the American College of Dublin. And so that kind of took me away, that the teaching came in. I got my two loves going on there. I had my love of teaching and my love of theatre, and I was able to educate the students of the future for musical theatre.
So that's a really nice pensionable job there that you walked away from.
Absolutely. Another one. I did it twice. I know, I walked away from the teaching, then twice I did. But here, listen, I as I said, I'm not in this for the security. I'm in this because I love what I do, and it is an absolute drug. And getting to meet the people I meet, getting to travel to the places that I've travelled with all the different... I was with Riverdance for a while, and I was all over Europe, and it was just, you never get it.
Like, the excitement of it all.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, there's hard work at times, and there's times when you don't want to be... You don't feel like you want to go on stage in front of thousands of people, but... You know, once you're on there, Dr. Theatre kicks in and you're like, this is exactly what I want.
Like what I was saying to you before we started this interview, I have a terrible migraine today and the show must go on.
Yeah. Well,
your job too.
You perked up when that microphone came on, that's for sure.
Yeah. Do the Americans love the Irish?
Oh my God, they do. Oh, the minute you start talking and just talking in general.
Suddenly he goes all leprechaun.
I know. Oh, because after I am from that. I'm from Ireland myself, the Emerald Isle. But you know, the minute you start talking, they're like, say that again. Oh my God, I love your accent. And it's just like, okay, this is... But then you realise, okay, work this. So if ever I do, let's say if I have to work in a cafe for a while to make some money, I'll be working that accent, I tell you.
Absolutely. Get the tips in. Well, listen, Owen, thanks so much for coming in. Going to be in Angela's Ashes, the musical, for 1 week only. So don't be sitting back and going, I must get round to getting the tickets for that. Just do it today on at the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre from the 9th of September.
It's
and all the details.
It's an all-Irish production as well. That's the one thing to note as well, that this is... I hope this might become the Irish musical, the elusive Irish musical.
Oh, that could be great.
You know,
yeah.
And you've got every person on that stage is from Ireland. So, you know, this is, let's support our own. You know,
thanks so much for coming in, and it's the best of luck in the future, Owen. This is Something for the Weekend on Classic Hits.